Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Hey, this is John Henry, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all. Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 94, hanging out with my good friend John Henry.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, this has kind of been a long time in the making.
We've tried to do this so many times.
Yeah, but I'm glad it happened, man.
And it worked out. Yeah, it's good to do it.
I'm excited. This, and, you know, it's a good timing. You got a lot going on right now. It's a good good time to talk.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah, you're a new father, so a new congratulations baby. Thank you. It's very, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah. We're both, my wife and I, are really, really happy and trying to do the best we know how to do.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Right. Yeah, man, that's all you can do. But yeah, John's got a show coming up with Robert O'Keen at the Ready Room on July 24th.
Yeah.
So you can come see him play. Yeah, and that's the full band be there?
No, actually, this one's going to be a stripped down thing.
Okay.
It's going to be me, and I actually don't know exactly what I'm doing. I think I'm doing it with Dave Anderson on pedal steel, which I've never done.
Oh, wow.
So it'll just be something a little different.
Yeah.
That's the plan as of tonight. That's what I think is happening. I'll know for sure.
Sure.
But either way,
I'm
going to try my hardest. Yeah, they wanted, this tour that Robert O'Keen's doing now is, he's doing mainly bluegrass acoustic stuff. So they wanted like a smaller opener, like, they didn't want like a full rock band or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of pride myself on being able to do any kind of configuration because I love like the full rock band and I love solo shows once in a while, and then
definitely.
I like small acoustic things every now and again too. So
yeah, is this your first time performing with him?
Yeah, but I'm actually doing double duty on this because I'm the promoter of it, and this is like the fourth show that I've worked with him and his team on as the promoter, and then he and I have kind of kept in touch a little bit, and he knows that I'm a musician, and so this one he wasn't carrying support on the tour, so they asked me to do it. I was able to do it, so I'm actually really excited because he's somebody who I really admire, and I like personally. You know, I like him on a personal thing. It's always nice to.
Yeah, I've never met him, but I've been a fan of his work for a while now. But that'd be a sounds like a real good time, you know?
Yeah, I actually got into him through my parents. My parents are super into him, and they play his music all the time, and I liked that he always had, like, a very unique sound. Like, you could tell that it was him right off the bat, which I think it's like, for me, that's, I think that's maybe the best thing you could say about an artist, is that they sound like them, and
right.
even to the point where people are like, oh, it sounds like every other song they put out. It's like, but you knew that it was them, so,
yeah. right.
you know, I think that's good. I like it.
Definitely, yeah. And that's Ready Room. That's I've been doing a lot of cool stuff over there, man. It's
yeah.
it's nice to see another venue coming around and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And
whenever we can't, whenever something's maybe a little too big for Off Broadway, it's good to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool room. And
yeah,
Mike's always really cool to us. So.
Yeah, I guess
it's good.
I guess it's been a bit, but one of the last times I remember seeing you was there also with Langhorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was last summer. Oh, that was like one of my favorite shows I've ever done.
Oh, that was a fantastic night. Man.
Yeah, that was one of the that was one of my all time favorite shows. Actually, for whatever reason, I mean, it was
just good energy. In
things
the crowd
just
and,
yeah, it was a good crowd, and he was cool, and it was the first time playing that room, and it was you know, it was a really good experience. I loved it.
Yeah.
So
that was I just went to see him. Opening for Dawes that
mm-hmm.
night a bit ago, and again, Langhorne brings the energy. He's a
he's a showman,
he's a
for sure.
performer.
And I haven't heard his new record. I don't know if you can yet, but it comes out I think pretty soon.
Yeah,
but he was great that night. That was actually I was actually lucky enough to be a part of that on the promotional level too. So
very cool.
It was cool. Yeah, I mean, I thought Dawes was great.
Yeah,
I thought they put on like a really, really, really good, well balanced like rock show.
Right.
You know, and then Langhorne did his thing, and he's always.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know.
He's one of
He's the hardest working man in show business, maybe.
Sure.
I mean.
Well, I liked. It was cool. I wasn't. I don't really know much about Dawes, and I wasn't as into the show. From my personal taste.
Right. Well, yeah.
But I, so I kind of ducked out a little bit early, and I was hanging out, and Langhorne just like walking around out there
yeah.
on the street, and he was hanging out outside the Halo Bar there, and it was just cool to see that, you know, he's super down to earth and stuff, and
yeah.
not going back to the dressing room or whatever. And
like a few years ago, my band, it was, at the time, it was John Henry and the Engine. And it was like, we did like 3 or 4 dates with him around the Midwest, and he got kind of sick during just the little run that we were on with him. And we were in, I think we were in Chicago. We were doing Lincoln Hall, and the way that it goes usually is like the headliner gets a lot of the headliner will get, you know, a writer or whatever, and they'll feed them, and they should, and because they're the main attraction, obviously. And then the local band, you know, they'll give us, or the touring band with them, they'll give us like some beer and maybe dinner if you're really lucky. And he like had this bottle of Jameson, and they weren't going to drink it. And he was like, "Hey, do you guys want this bottle of Jameson?" And we're like, "Well, sure." And then like 2 nights later, he came up to me like right before he went up to play. He's like, "Hey, man, like my throat's really hurting. Do you have that bottle of Jameson?" And he doesn't sound like that. So he doesn't sound like that, but you know, he's like really nice. He's like, "Can I have some back for my throat?" And he just like took a big drink and like gargled it and like swallowed it down. It was like,
all right.
Sure, but I don't think he drinks anymore. But at the time it was really cool, and him and his band were like,
yeah,
super nice. But I was like, that was always kind of funny that he needed it back.
Sure,
just for a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I guess that's where we first met, was through John Henry and the Engine.
Yeah.
Becoming a fan, and that led to following you around a bunch whenever you were playing in town, and then becoming friends, man. It's been a lot of
it's
fun.
It's been a good time. Yeah, and like, you know, you're very supportive of all the, you know, the music that we would play, like as a band, and then as, you know, promotion, you know, as a promoter now,
yeah.
too. It's so it's great.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, big fan of music, man. That's a big part of my life, and it's cool to be a part of it. You know, and in various ways, you know, like I said, you know, helping you promote, you know, so, through social media.
Right.
I share a lot of your things that you, whatever I can do to help out. And
yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, with that, I mean, there's a lot of traditional, like a lot of the traditional maybe music industry jobs don't exist in like their, you know, maybe classic form, but there's different areas that have opened up now where, you know, you can really be involved with it and make an impact with it kind of on your own terms. And I mean, I think same thing with musicians too. I think, you know, like whether it's licensing or commercials or TV or movie or whatever, but you know, the way it is now, you just kind of claw and scratch to make a living, unless you're, you know, one of the very few, you know, huge, you know, artists that doesn't have to claw and scratch.
Right, yeah. Yeah, some people get the lucky breaks and stuff, but yeah, man, I was trying to think on the way over just to, I can't remember exactly which one was the first one, but I've been to a lot of really fun John Henry shows. There was a couple of standout moments that always come to mind, and I remember you guys played Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room within the Curables.
Yeah, that was a really fun show.
Yeah,
and yeah, I remember that one really well.
I always think of that one because I remember it was a lot of fun to see Neil or
Nate.
Sorry, yeah. Nate grabbed the drum and he
played it
and he like takes his bass drum and just beats the hell out of it. And
I think I just threw out. I was using one of his bass drum, his head, and there's like blood all over it.
Oh yeah.
It's funny. I was just talking to him like right before you came here because he lives in Nashville now.
Yeah.
We were actually just talking about how Steak and Shake is really really good, and how now Steak and Shake is cheaper than McDonald's.
Right.
And I feel like it used to be Steak and Shake was like the fancier food.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was telling me that, at least in Nashville, and I haven't noticed it here, that Taco Bell has like a sriracha burrito now. And I have not seen that advertised. I don't know.
Huh.
So those are the rock and roll things that we were talking about. Like right before you got here, so I hope he listens to this because he'll crack up. Oh, we were talking about some other stuff too.
Well, I thought I saw him at that Dolls show.
Yeah, he was there,
and
he'd come up for a wedding. I think he was able to stay over.
So I sent him a message. I was like, "Man, did I see you at the Dolls show?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then actually, he sent me a copy of his new record. And
his Secret Club.
Yeah.
They're coming up in August to play.
That's a killer record, though, man.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. It's like it totally suits what he, you know, it fits him perfectly, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a wild man, and it just seems like a good thing. But that Duck Room show was one really stood out to me, too, because, you know, I think Incurables are like, you know, just a really great band.
Right.
And
it was one of my first nights seeing them live. And then they had Funky Butt Horns sitting in, too.
It's gotten to the point now where I feel like in what they're doing, I'm playing with Jordan and Brian from that band. So it's almost like, like a little bit of a crossover.
Sure.
And then Dave Grelly plays with him, and he's recorded on records that I've done for years. So he's, you know, he's great. And he works over at Toonspeak now, so he's, you know, a lot of good dudes in that band.
Yeah. There was that one, I think, well, maybe like a year ago or something with Will Hogue.
Yeah.
That was
at Off Broadway.
Yeah, that was a pretty recent one.
Yeah, that was fun.
But yeah, man, there's a lot of them. One of my favorite moments and songs that you always brain's a little fried. I've been doing too many podcasts, I think. But you're from the Yellow Moon with the harmonica.
Oh, Lightning City.
Yeah, Lightning City. There you go, man.
Yeah, I like that one.
Brain's a little toast right now.
That song has evolved, too, so much from the way that record, the way we recorded it. It's like, it's a lot different now. It's turned into more of a harmonica-driven
right.
than it ever used to be. So
yeah, I love the harmonica, though. I mean, that's, like, I don't really have any big desire to play at all. You know, just I've always been a big fan, but never really had any, you know, draw to start picking up a guitar and play or anything like that.
Right.
But there is something about harmonica that makes me want to, like, just give it a shot. And
that's, yeah, I mean, it's a very cool instrument, and you could do a lot of different things with it. But I think one of the things I always joke about with people, my wife mainly, because it's become kind of like this running joke. It's like, you know, I love to play guitar. I'm not, you know, I'm confident on the guitar and I can play. So then I'll play like a solo or something and I'll be like, man, that was like, I felt that, like that was really good
yeah.
in my head, you know? And it's like, people are like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then I'll get on a harmonica and you play like one note and people are like, oh fuck right. yeah, that's the best thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, well, you take it as you can get it. So, sure. But I get the thing. I get it. Cause it's kind of like, it, you know, it has like kind of a sexual vibe, I think, in a way too. Cause you could bend notes real easily and like your hands, you know, are up and you right. say your body, you can move your body while you do. So I get it. I get the thing, but.
Well, and also yeah. like there's not a lot of it. You know, there's more,
right.
I mean, almost every band's got a guitar player.
Right.
So
I guess that's true. I never thought of, I guess, yeah.
There's also the
fact it's like that, a little different.
Yeah. When you, I mean, that's for me, that's even like you said, having a steel player sit in and stuff, or like the same kind of, a similar kind of thing for me.
Yeah.
Because you don't see a lot of pedal steel players. A lot.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I think of stuff that I really dig on a pedal steel, I mean, you know, you have some of that real twangy country stuff where it's real, you know, kind of what you think when you come, when you think about it, you think, you know, country twang, but the way I think a lot of people play it now is it's almost like a sound, it makes a soundscape, or it's like ethereal, and it's kind of like almost like a soundtrack or a score of a movie than it is something that stands out as maybe an instrument that picks out individual notes, which I think is great. You know, it almost creates like a synthesizer feel sometimes, but not. And I think that's kind of the way that I envision it for this thing. We haven't sat down yet. I hope we can make it work, but I think it can.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's always good to try something new, I think, too. I like that, you know. I think with bands, I think sometimes you get into ruts, and it's sometimes nice just to switch things up just a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
It's a breath of fresh air for me anyway, so hopefully I'm not, like, hyping it up and then we're not able to do it. But I believe it's happening, so.
Yeah. So I mean, I do know you fairly well, but, like, but I don't, you know, did you grow up around here?
No, I grew up, actually, a few miles from off-Broadway, like Hampton and 44 by the hill.
Okay.
By Steve's. I went to grade school at St. Ambrose.
All right. But yeah, I just mean here as in
St. Louis area. Yeah, I did. I grew up here, and then I went to high school here at a place called SLU, which is in South City too.
Sure.
And then I went to, I started playing in bands in high school, like 17, and then went to Mizzou, and a lot of the guys from my first high school band, we were called the Big O. Most of the guys, we all went to Mizzou, so we just kept that going, and we had like a really, what I felt like was a really good band for when we did that for like a year there, and I always knew that I was going to do it real serious, and I think the guys in that band, I don't think they ever really planned on doing it as like for a living, but I know they're all really good guys, and they're all like super into music and artistic people, you know, for sure. So we did that, and then after college, I stayed down there for a few years. And by then, you know, I was doing John Henry and the Engine down there, and we were having a lot of success. I feel like on a local level there, we were selling out this venue called the Blue Fugue all the time, and that's when I got into to also booking it, because I was at this club all the time. I started, you know, being the talent buyer for a lot of shows there and setting everything up, and we booked a festival down there for a couple years called the Bluebird Festival, and then when I moved back home, I just kept all that going. You know, I was out of school and was just determined to make as successful as I could a living in music.
Right.
Because I really did like both sides of it. I did like promoting. And promoting, I feel like, sometimes has like a dirty connotation to it. Like, you know, you think of like a guy like fucking you out of money and like being really dishonest. And it's anybody serious in this town that does it, no, they're not like that. And like, if they're serious, it's very...
There's been those guys, though.
Oh, yeah. So, and it gives good people... Right. I feel like people who actually care about it and you know, definitely make an honest living doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but I always was really... My mind always was business side,
right,
as well. You know, I love to write, but I also loved, you know, reading about different deals and you know, how the economics of concerts, you know, all that stuff. It's always just interesting mm-hmm. to me. Like, so for me, it's never really been like a major difference. It's never been like, you're this and you're this. To me, it's kind of all the same thing, because it's like my brain is into both sides of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like in the same sense of like being a cook and owning a restaurant, kind of.
Right.
You know, you've always...
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
You're always kind of wanting to be in the business sense, too. And, you
know, right.
But yeah.
I mean, it's the music business. Right. So, you know, I think certain people just don't like business, or they don't care about it, they're not good at it, and that's great. You know, mm-hmm. I've always just kind of liked it, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm not like, you know, I don't want to be like a record executive or something,
yeah,
but, you know, like that, but
sure.
I just like the talking about it, and I love the studio recording side of it, too, like the nerdy, what microphone are you using, that side, too. So, I just loved it, all of it. It's not past tense. I mean, I'm crazy about all of it still.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned your writing. Is your last release was Spinning Wheel?
I put out my first solo thing, song called Broken City.
Yeah, right.
Which was just me.
That was just a single though, right?
Yeah, and I'm gonna record an EP coming up. It's gonna be a solo EP. Called Dark City, Dark Country. And I've been working on this for a really, really long time. And I'm whittling down all the different songs that I want to have on it, but it's going to be a thematic record. It's going to be focused on a lot of the good things and the bad things that seem exclusive to either the city or the country, but really they all have their versions of good and bad. And it's, the record is going to, I'm really working hard on it too. I want to explore that. Cause as you get older, you just start to notice things more. I feel like in both areas and I was in a position where, like, you know, I was from South City, which is considered, you know, scary and rough and whatever. And there certainly are spots in there, but where I grew up, it was like, you know, a really nice spot and never really worried about, I mean, you know, anything could happen anywhere, but by and large, it was a very safe, friendly thing, you know? And then, you know, you think that in the country, everything's this super, you know, utopian, everyone's nice, but there's a lot of strange, dark things that happened there too.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
That I didn't maybe notice when I was younger, but you get older and then you see it. And then my wife is from out Lincoln County, and she lives in a really nice area there too, you know, growing up and everything. But I would still see things where it's just like, oh man, because, you know, they would tell me that they were terrified of the city, and I'm like, have you looked like a mile down your road?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, like, because that's scary to me,
sure,
you know?
I had a very similar discussion with somebody not too long ago, and how, like, you know, you look at, like, in a whole, like, the city, if there are, you know, murder and all violence and everything, it does happen. But, you know, like, and then you think, like, how, like, they might just kill you, but, like, you go out in the country, there might be somebody that's going to, like, kill you and then eat you and everything else or whatever.
All yeah, and then, like, throw you, like, yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy people.
You never go, the, you know. Exactly. I mean, I think that there's darkness everywhere.
Right.
And it was, like, the thing that really got me was there was a murder in a bar. And this, I have a song called Dark City, Dark Country that's going to be the kind of the centerpiece of this record. And it was, like, what had happened was a guy walked into a bar in St. Louis when they were closing down, and he murdered two people just for no reason. And I think he was trying to rob them. And then people, you know, I remember having a conversation with, like, oh, my God, did you hear the city? You know, what's going on in there? And then I'm like, well, you guys just had, like, a month where 15 people OD'd on heroin.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'm, you know, so it's... I'm not saying that what happened was not scary. I'm just saying that there's also a level of darkness or you know, people who aren't properly socialized everywhere.
Definitely.
You know,
right?
That people can't get. They're searching for something everywhere. They can't get it.
Right.
And it's not. It's just manifested in different ways, no matter where you live.
Oh.
And if you can't. And it's hard for, I think it's hard to parse things up, like, to look at things in a level of not a blanket coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that, you know, when the stuff here in Ferguson went down last summer, I think that it was really easy to draw, like, a dividing line over it. You know, I think a lot of people were doing that. But I feel like if, for somebody who, you know, I grew up in the city and I didn't grow up in a bad part of the city necessarily, like where there's a lot of crime, but you would see how segregated it was and how certain things would happen, and you could sort of get why there would be some anger that may not be justified through all that happened, but for me it was never, you know, black and white. That's like a poor expression to use in this case, but it was never just one way or the other way. It was always like a little bit of both,
yeah.
You know, or a lot of both. And I think that's hard. I think it's really hard to figure, like, there aren't absolutes and stuff. And with this type of thing, and that's what I'm trying to write about. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's got to be kind of a little bit of good, a little bit of good here, a little bit
yeah.
of bad there, a little bit of bad there, a lot of good here, you know, whatever it is. But
right.
But,
yeah, man, I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited about it, too.
I like the video and the single for Broken City.
Cool,
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I'm working really hard on that. So that's, like, the musical project for this year. So it'll be recorded and put out this year. I'm still working on a few details for when and where, but... really, really going to be hitting that side of things much, much harder over the next year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm writing and playing better than I ever have, and I'm just not doing it in public as much. So it's
mm-hmm.
you know, that's just the way it goes.
Are you treating it more of a, like, an acoustic kind of thing, or
no? It's going to be both. It's going to have some acoustic based tracks, and then it's going to be a rock record too.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of across the whole thing.
Yeah.
Dark City, Dark Country. Like, you know, you
sure.
kind of have more of a twangy thing, and I think than a rock thing, because I come from both. I've always drawn to both rock
yeah.
and country stuff. Really, you know, I liked them both a ton. So
right. Yeah, I think I feel you do a pretty good job of kind of, you know, towing that line on both, you know, both sides of it.
Cool, thanks.
And you know, but yeah, I was gonna ask about that spinning wheel, because you wrote that song with Adam.
With Adam,
right?
from He was in Will Hogue.
Yeah.
Now he's in Casey Musgraves.
How'd that come about? How did you guys end up?
So this was kind of an interesting turn. The way it went down was, so we were touring John Henry and the Engine. We were touring, and I toured really hard, as much as as humanly possible, from pretty much like 2007, 2008 until 2010 into 2011. And around that time, we made a record with Ken Coomer, who had been in, he was in Wilco, and he was the drummer, and he was a producer in Nashville. And so I was down there in Nashville, and I was auditioning. I got called to audition for the band that became the Wild Feathers.
Okay.
Because I knew Joel King, who's in that band, really, really well. He was in the effects. We'd play together like for years. So I came down and I auditioned for this thing, and it, and I didn't get it. And it was kind of a good thing, because it wasn't the right fit, like musically for what I did. It didn't fit well with that band. And that band is, and they kick ass. They're awesome, and they're having a lot of success. So, it was great. So in that process, I met Ken Coomer down there again. We had a meeting, and I kind of told him what I wanted to do. And we came down and we did a band record. And it was a blast, and it was like super exhilarating. And I started to spend a lot more time in Nashville writing, and I had known Adam for years through Will Hogue, just staying in touch.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Do you ever write songs?" And he's like, "Oh, I'd love to." So that the first person I ever like co-wrote a song with like was him in Nashville in his house, and it was Spinning Wheel. And then I wrote with a bunch of different writers for that record. I'd never done that, and I ended up making a record down there, the Spinning Wheel EP, with just a band from down there that of guys that Ken put together. And what I found when I was doing that was I'd kind of gotten tired of like touring all the time. Like, and we weren't touring like crazy, but it was like enough where there wasn't enough great gigs, and it wasn't a life. It was so much fun, but it started to become more of a grind. And
yeah.
And I was like, wow, I can drive down to Nashville like twice a month or once a month. I could stay here for 3 days, and I could write like 4 or 5 songs, and I could hang out and meet tons of people, and basically get a lot of the same, musical energy that I was getting, and not really have to like drive around all the time. Yeah. And I miss playing live for sure, and I miss the guys that I was playing with a lot, but it was like a transitional period, and I just really liked it, and I met a lot of really cool, nice people in Nashville, and it helped with the promoting side too, because I'd be like, oh hey, I know this guy, but and it's all connected.
You're right.
And it really, down there, is just like, I think it gets a bad rap now because Nashville's gotten so big of like, oh, we're going to have a write and we're going to crank out a song. And while that is maybe how some people do it, like us, we'd be like, hey, I'm going to come over at like 11. We would sit down and we'd, have coffee or whatever, and then just be like, you have any ideas? And then I'd kind of show Michelle, and then we'd flush it out and we'd have a song. And then in the afternoon would come and be like, all right, that was cool. And we'd meet the next day maybe and tighten it up and you'd have a song. So it was like work in quotes.
Right.
Like you would meet at a certain time and do it, but it was like very organic.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the things that I liked about it was it was work, but it wasn't like manufactured in the sense of we weren't rubber stamping things.
Yeah.
It was cool. So that's how that came about. With Adam and that whole record, except for one song, I think, are songs co-written with people. So, and I really, that was like a brand new thing. And looking back, I should have done that for years because it was just nice. And then I have, a couple of guys that I still talk to. One of my close friends, Zach, down there is a really, really great writer. And we write all the time. And
nice.
And so, it was like a whole new, I was down in Nashville. I was there a ton for couple years. I was there like once or twice a month,
right?
So it was great.
Yeah, that's I thought that was, you said you Adam is now with Casey Musgraves band, and it's pretty crazy, you know, to be a known from the Will and playing off Broadway and things, and then now you see him on the you know, CMAs and all this stuff like that.
And he's like the nicest guy, you know, thoughtful guy, you know, that you'd ever meet, and every time I see him, it's great. And he has this really cool house with like a studio in it. It's kind of like what I modeled this after, where we're, you can't see it on the on the podcast, but his is like his whole house, and it was like this open floor plan, and like one half was just a studio. And I just remember going down there and just me and him writing, and it was just like so exciting, just because it was like, oh my god, we can write a song, and then we could go over here and he could play pedal steel on them, we could play drum, you know. It's just like, people do this, like, this is exactly what I want to do all the time, and this is like an entire town where people are doing that.
Yeah.
And so it was great doing it with him, because I had known him for so long, and it was safe. It just felt like, I know this guy, he's gonna be nice. Yeah. You know. And it was just really great.
Yeah.
And I got to record with a producer named Dave Cobb, who did like the last couple of Isbell records.
Yeah.
And Jamie Johnson record.
Chris Stapleton
record.
Yeah, that guy's killing it right now.
And it was like, it was just like really, I did Broken City with him.
Yeah.
And then that got mixed by Daryl Thorpe, who mixed Beck's record that won like Album of the Year. And it was just like,
very cool.
I was like, oh my God, like, you know, so. It was a really cool, that was a really cool period of time.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was
really cool. There was another one Cobb did with Anderson East.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
He played like the pageant like twice in 1 month, I think, like opening for, it was like Brandi Carlile, and then it was like somebody else.
Mofro, J.J. Gray Mofro.
What does he sound like? Is he good?
Yeah, so we, I told a story on here. We went, I forget who I had tickets to see on the other side of town, but there was somebody in town Friday. Might have been Will Hogue or something. Could have been, because it was not too long ago he was here. Anyway, something like that. But anyway, I shot
up. Oh, that was the night that Alejandro Escovedo, Corey Chisel, Langhorne Slim, J.J. Gray and Mofro, and did I say Will Hogue already?
No, all
four were in town on May 2nd.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Thursday night, I shot up to Kansas City to see JJ play up there at Knuckleheads.
The outdoor Knuckleheads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to miss Will on Friday, Saturday or something.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Anyway, but I got to see Anderson perform. I kind of looked him up online a little bit before.
Right.
And I got to see Anderson from, you know, the 2 feet apart. You know, it was really something cool. And then I really liked it. And like I said, the next night I drove, you know, back home in St. Louis, and I ran to the pageant, and I had tickets, free tickets. I went to watch JJ, or went to watch Anderson, and then I left before JJ so I could shoot across town to catch
Will Hogue.
So that's when I got to this. I talked to him twice, and super cool guy. But he sounds kind of, kind of old soul kind of stuff, like a lot of like '60s kind of soul music in there, influenced and stuff. He's got the horns. He fits in well with JJ stuff. But he's been on tour with Isbell, Brandi Carlile, a lot of like, you know, more country things. But I feel like he's more in a kind of a more soul stuff there, but
I've heard really good things about him, and if you know, those are some really good. If he's on those tours, I mean, he's
sure
whoever. Yeah, he's doing.
He's in good company. Yeah,
that was because that night too, I played with Alejandro, and that was a thrill because I love him. And then, like, packed up real quick and tried to like sneak out, sort of, even though I hated doing it because I was promoting Will Hogue's show over off Broadway. And so I ran back there, you know, drove across town to that, and that was great.
Yeah. Anderson does this thing. His guitar player does this, like, it's Prince lyrics for what's the damn song now? Anyway, it does, like, Prince lyrics, but he reads it, like, as, like, a reverend, like a sermon kind of thing.
So it's like dirty words, and it's like, yeah, but used in it all, like, you know, reverend.
It's a lot of fun. He kind of breaks it up a little bit, and he's like, you know, brothers and sisters, we are gathered here, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, it was really funny, but seeing Anderson in Kansas City, he was having a ton of mic troubles and stuff. Mic was cutting out, and then they got like taped, and then it was kind of staying there for a while, and then like, they ended up like switching out mics, and they gave him another one, and then like his cord was, it was kind of stuck, and then he's like, the sound engineer guy or whatever, sound guy comes over, and he's like working on, he's down on the floor, and he's trying to get it like untangled or something, and like Anderson like ends up like, you know, he's still trying to sing, and he's running out of cord because the sound guy's like on the cord,
right?
And then so Anderson's like straddling him from and stuff, and like, and then it was just like such a crazy, you know, moment, like as he's still performing the song, and
having to do all this like movement,
there. Right? Yeah, he's sitting, so the sound guy's on all fours, and then Anderson's like, you know, straddled him like a. Like a horse or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, like
trying to sing, and still entertain and all that.
So it was an interesting moment, but yeah, it was cool that he was a good sport about it. Like, you know, that he didn't just, you know, get pissed and stop the song and, you know, or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
If you act pissed, it doesn't come across good, and then it's just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's tough being the opening act, you know,
right.
But you're still lucky enough to be doing it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and he was, like I said, a good sport, but it's like the fact that I imagine it's got to be super frustrating when that's like your big kind of exposure, your chance to impress these people, and you're having so
right.
many technical difficulties. And
but then on the other side, if you handle it right and you make people laugh, you could end up being better than you ever would have
definitely.
Been.
Definitely, and that's what happened. That's what I mean. Like I said, he made me a fan that night. And,
right.
So
you got to roll with the punches.
Sure. Were you talking too about your promoting side and things? You want to talk about the festival?
Yeah, sure. The Open Highway Music Festival. This is the fourth year that we're doing it, and it's August 5th through 9th this year. All of the shows are at Off-Broadway.
Yeah, man. Great lineup. I'm excited. This is
thanks. We're happy with it, for sure.
So you got, which I'm not as familiar with. I've seen his name a couple times coming through Off-Broadway, but Bob Schneider?
Yeah, that's the kickoff show. First night. He's like really unique. He's from Austin, and he's doing a solo acoustic show. Like this year with Open Highway, we're doing a lot more of the, singer songwriter guys who tend to front bands, but they're doing it, you know, solo this year. So,
okay.
Just something a little different that we're going with, but yeah, he's going to be solo, and that's the fifth. That's the Wednesday. Yeah,
right.
Wednesday.
And then Thursday night, the sixth, is Diarrhea Planet and Bruiser Queen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they're like the wildest band.
Yeah.
Out right now, it's crazy because they're from Nashville, and within Nashville, you know, you have this kind of like. A few different scenes there, but one of the scenes is like this, like rock, and I say hard rock, but not like butt rock, but like really unique, you know, like elements of cool metal and melody, and just, you know, wild rock and roll stuff, and that's what they are.
Sure.
And
I found it funny you said butt rock with Diarrhea Planet.
That's true. I always poor choice of word. And everyone always joke, like I think even on their flyer, their like 11x17 band poster, it's like a critic was like, you know, they're like such a great name, and they're just held back by like the worst name in music.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, my younger brother went to college with them, and they were at Belmont. And then I've been booking them for years, and they're really, really nice dudes, but just like a wild show. And then with Bruiser Queen, that's kind of like the, you know, the garage rock show that night.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be wild.
Yeah, Diarrhea Planet is one I've been hearing about, and I hear they're just a great time, stage, you know, show and stuff, but like and the energy and things, but I haven't been able to catch them, so should be a good one. And Bruiser Queen's a friend of the show, so those are...
Yeah, that'll be cool. They're great. Yeah. And we're going to add a few guests to that as we get a little closer, yeah. So...
And then another local, or, you know, at least pretty close local, Haha Tonka on Friday.
Yeah, and they're doing a co-bill with Craig Finn, who he's the front man of the Hold Steady.
Okay.
And we were able to get him to do it with Tonka. And Haha Tonka, you know, they're one of my favorite bands, period, like, even as a fan. When I was a very young man, we went out, we did some touring with them, and there were nights I remember, and there's a few bands that we've toured with that I got this feeling, but where I felt like certain nights they were the best band in the world, and they were... You know, they had the capability to be just massively popular worldwide.
Right.
And they were so nice to us, and we're like really, really close friends still, but like at the time, Brian in particular was like, all right, because he's kind of like the de facto, I guess you'd say, leader of the band, and he was just so nice with like advice of just, you know, you go to the after party and you hang out with people. Just how to, like, basically I call it like band camp 101, like, right, in real life. And he was great. And then, besides the fact that they're just amazing. And then, you know, they're playing with Craig Finn, and the Hold Steady is, you know, like an institution, in my opinion. I think they're great.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's the Friday night.
Yeah, Friday, August 7th. Saturday, August 8th. Another local, Jay Farrar.
Yeah, when you say local, though,
well,
these guys are like national artists.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But they're close to home for sure.
Yeah, Missouri, which makes it even cooler.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, he's playing solo. We've wanted to work with him for a long time, and it finally worked out this year. So that'll be great. He's playing like a duo that night, so that'll be really cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's kind of like a, you know, a St. Louis legend, really. I mean, if you want to use the L word, but,
yeah,
you know, he's very, very respected and,
right,
and well-deserved. You know, deserved,
yeah, I know some people kind of hold that connotation to it, of a local, that being lesser of some sort or whatever, but for me, like,
right.
It's really exciting when people from my own neighborhood are
successful. I agree. And I think, like, you know, with you know, Pokey Lafarge, for, you know, it's great seeing him like that.
Even though he tours the world, and
yeah,
I still think of him as local because he's...
I think he lives really close to Off-Broadway, so.
And then closing it out, this is another one I'm super excited about. Sunday, August 9th, Ryan Bingham.
Yeah, really thrilled about that one, obviously, and tickets are really, really selling quickly for... I mean, all of the shows are selling well, but that one is, like, really, really selling well, I think.
Yeah.
Go quick.
And he's doing a solo thing, right?
He is. Yeah, he's doing solo. I think he's too big for a full band, I think it would be. But we're able to lock it in.
He's one of my favorites, man. He's got some really good stuff. And I've never seen him live, and... So I've definitely never seen him solo acoustic or solo at all and things or whatever.
We have a team of people who work on it, but you know, this is something I started in, it's the fourth year, and I'm really proud of it. I want to keep growing it. You know, we have some plans next year that are in the works to really, really take it to another level that we're going to start working on when this one ends, but obviously, right now the focus. I mean, this one, we're really thrilled with the lineup, and we're hoping that everybody comes and we sell out all shows like last year. So
yeah,
be a blast.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know if I've been to all four. Definitely two or three for sure. I mean, it's kind of when you when I go to a lot of shows at all Broadway, they start to all, but I know I've been there a bunch of them, and never disappoints, man. Always the
thanks, thank you. Yeah,
always a good time. I mean,
we try really hard. We want to make it.
Yeah,
great. I mean,
you bring great talent. The Off Broadway is my favorite venue in town, probably. The intimacy of being able to be right next to the stage and killer sound and good people. So it's always a good time.
Thanks. Yeah, we. Steve, the owner, is a great guy, and he treats everybody really, really well. And I think there's a really good staff there. And I think Ryan Adams in particular, I think he's, a really, really, really great engineer. And I think he gets the room sounding, great. I mean, everybody there who work, who does front of house, but I mean, in particular, I think, I work with him the most. So
yeah,
I think he's great.
What was there? John Moreland and Chris Porter. I was there just a bit ago for that, and then I got to talking to Bart.
Bart's great.
And he does with the 3-minute record podcast.
He's been taking on more and more sound engineering there, and he's kicking ass too.
Yeah, so. We're talking about maybe trying to potentially do some sort of a simulcast or some sort or something, kind of do something, work together maybe. And
they're good. Him and Scott, I think, are doing it.
Yeah, all the guys, all three of the guys were there. It'll be fun to help out, another local.
They're super nice guys, and they love music, so. Right. I think... Yeah, I agree with you. I think that
would be good. Did you see John Calvin Abney? Did you get to...
No, I've heard his stuff.
He played...
I didn't make it to that show.
Right.
We had a very, very, very newborn.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
So it was like... I've been staying closer to home the last, 8 weeks.
Definitely.
Because So I've been missing some shows, but it's still being... I'm still promoting them. I'm not there at night with it, so
you're
but
there.
No, I heard that show was amazing.
That was a great show, man. And that John Calvin Abney, super cool guy, and killer sound. I really was super impressed. That was the first I heard of his stuff. And
where's he from?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he's I know the other guys are from like I said, John's from Oklahoma area, but I don't know if John Calvin's from that area or not. But
John Moreland's doing some dates with Jason Isbell coming up.
Yeah.
Like big, theater type things. And it's like, sometimes there's like a buzz about an artist. And like on the promoter side of things, I always try to pay attention to stuff that's getting it. And I think John Moreland's one of those where the buzz is truly warranted because I feel like he writes really great songs.
I keep getting on him. I've seen him three times now. He's never played that Blues and Kazoo off his album.
Really?
Off of the In the Throes album. And I'm like, that's one of my favorites. And I keep telling him, like, man,
you got to play.
Yeah, you got to play it sometime. And then he's like, well, you got to tell me or something. So next time, remind me, I'll play it. And I'm like, all right.
Were you at his show with Ben Nichols last year?
Yeah.
And, like, he got an encore as the opener.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, Ben is super supportive.
Yeah, Ben loved it. They came out and I think he got a... maybe an encore at the beginning, and then at the end Ben was like, come up, and he did like a few
Ben made him do some more.
It was
great, and Ben's watching him the whole time inside of the stage.
Ben Nichols from Lucero is like the nicest guy, like most sincere. What you see is what you get with him. Band is so good.
I love his Bruised Ribs, that Joey Kneiser song he does. That's a great song.
I think, what, don't they have a new record coming out? Like, really soon, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're doing Roots and Blues, so they're not coming to St. Louis this in 2015, but they're, they're going to be, I think, through the winter. So,
cool.
Not positive, but
yeah. Keep an eye out.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, the open highway thing. I mean, it's, you know, I guess the technical details are off BroadwaySTL.com, and probably most people listening to this know where they can get tickets for this. But
yeah.
Each night sold separately, and we're gonna have a couple other little announcements here and there leading up to it. But you know, the headliners are all intact, and
yeah,
it's gonna be a good one. So,
right. In the business side, have you ever thought of like selling it as like a one ticket kind of event at all?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we're going to be implementing here, I think, now within the next year or two. One of them is, you know, I'd like to diversify it a little bit more than what we've done prior. And I think this year we did more so. But, you know, I'm constantly, I constantly looking to make it, you know, a type of thing where we have more styles of music and styles, you know, just represented across the whole festival. Yeah. And I'd like to do, you know, like a big sweeping pass for it. And, those are all things that will happen next year for sure. Yeah. So.
Cool, man. Well, John, it's been a lot of fun, man. Thanks for taking some time out to hang, and I'm glad
you
finally worked
out.
Do it. What do you want to, intro something?
Yeah, I guess we could play the, latest single that I did, Broken City.
Okay. All right. So, stick around for that, and, people can,
it's johnhenrymusic.com. It's actually going to be coming out next Tuesday, the new website.
All right. Yeah. And then, so keep an eye on that, and, thanks for listening. Episode 94. That's a wrap.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Dotted line.